everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with our friend Tom Fairbanks, Tom engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. And we welcome you now to the Buckmaster Show, the final Friday of February. It's the 26th, 2016. Tom, you all ready for the program today?
Yes, sir. I be pushing buttons.
I just hope they're all in the right direction. No, that
me too.
There you go. We are live each weekday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. We live stream the show, live streaming where it's at these days. If you're around a computer, buckmastershow.com kicks you over to kvoi.com. You can hear the program anywhere in the world. Our media partners, thank you very much. TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiner.com. Thank you all for prominently displaying the Buckmaster Show logo. So you just click on that logo on their websites, and it gets you over to our website, which has pretty much every show we've done over the last 5 years. Our Friday Focus interview today, Arizona State Senator Steve Farley. Mr. Farley, a Democrat representing District 9, which is a wide, quite a large district covering the foothills of the Santa Catalina Mountains and parts of central Tucson. Joining me in studio, he's on time today. Tim Steller has joined us.
I did run into traffic, though.
Oh, you did
it's
have
the
traffic.
Same construction. Same. I ran on 22nd.
Yeah,
yep.
Traffic issues. Yep. But you left a few minutes earlier this time.
Enough.
We do appreciate that.
Yes.
Tim's column appears three times a week in the Arizona Daily Star. And Steve Farley, we welcome you to the program. Thanks for being with us.
Always great to be here, Bill.
If anyone would like to call and make a comment, question, or if you've got a suggestion, Steve Farley, always a good sport about pretty much any of the questions that come in at 790-2040. Our Facebook page, my name, Bill Buckmaster, and we're doing Twitter. Opened an account when I started this 5 years ago, kind of inactivated it, got it cranked up again a few months ago, and so trying to do Twitter the best we can. Steve, there is a story in the Arizona Republic today saying that this whole thing about a move to voucherize, for want of another word, Arizona's education, public education system could torpedo, if it does pass the expanded voucher program, could torpedo Proposition 123.
I think that's absolutely correct, and it isn't just this bill that would expand the taxpayer-funded private school vouchers to every student in Arizona that would endanger 123. I think you would also see there's a strong effort again this year to try to take away all the desegregation funding from 20 different school districts, including TUSD, Phoenix Union, all over the state. All of those are dwarf the amount of money that would be coming in from 123 in terms of the damage it would do to our public school system. And I think there's a whole lot of people who would be saying, how do you say that you're the education governor, the guy trying to fund our public schools, when you're signing these things into place that would basically end public education as we know it?
Steve, what do you mean by dwarf, that they would dwarf the amount of money that would come in from 123? Because when I think of these figures that exist now, I don't think they add up to, what is it, $350 million a year. That is a DSEG plus the voucher costs.
Well, look at district by district. Phoenix Union gets about $55 million a year in their DSEG funding. 123 would get them about $5.9 million. So that's about 10 times more money they would lose if DSEG went through and 123 went through. And the voucher systems themselves, the problem, there's so many different problems with having a voucher system for every kid in the state. And among them are that there was actually recently a Republic story that just proved this with the data, that already for the small versions of the empowerment scholarship accounts, as they call them, in place, you've seen predominantly rich kids using them and poor kids not using them. You would just see that extended so that those who can afford the extra tuition that private schools can have to charge would be using these vouchers, and those who couldn't afford them or those who didn't have parents to advocate for them would be staying behind in a public school that got starved of resources.
So it would become a two-tier system.
It's a two-tier system. It's the ghettoization of public education, which undercuts the only tool we have ever seen to lift people out of poverty effectively.
Well, Steve, one way of looking at that, though, would be that then the vouchers just aren't big enough. What about that? What if maybe you guys should make them to $10,000 a year or something like that, so the poor can afford to go to these schools?
Well, their theory is that they're only going to take the amount of money that's already going to a public school, minus 10%, and give it to the private school. If they wanted to double the amount, then they'd have to double the amount they're spending on education from taxpayer money. And I think part of the idea is also cutting taxes down to the size where folks who are their backers will be paying less money. So they don't want to raise taxes at the same time as privatizing the school system. They want to keep taxes low and, in fact, cut them at the same time as privatizing the school system. So I don't think that works for them.
Is this a reaction to what some say are government schools, that public education is government schools?
Some of the folks behind this certainly call public schools government schools because they think that they're not doing any good. I've heard plenty of people say, well, public schools are decreasing in quality, so we have to give people choices. Well, it's interesting that since 2008, we have cut our public school, our state support for K-12 system on a per capita basis by 23%, which leads the nation as the worst cuts over that period of time. So when you chop off resources at that level, and they were not really that highly funded in the first place, and you're last in the nation when it comes to funding for the K-12, you're going to end up with struggling schools. The solution to that isn't to starve them more and siphon off the students to private schools or home schools with no accountability. Because that's two other things that need to be pointed out. Private schools don't have to accept all comers. They can turn down people even if they have a voucher. And the second thing is the accountability issue. This stuff can be used for homeschools, private schools, online schools, anything. And there aren't the resources or the inspectors to be able to go and follow up on this stuff. And we've already had people indicted for paying for things like abortions and big screen TVs with the taxpayer money they were given in this voucher system.
Well, that sounds like a winning argument in the legislature. If you argue that their voucher is going to pay for more abortions.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, you can win that run. Hey, on accountability, is there any requirement, for example, that the students who use these vouchers either take tests that show the outcomes of their education or account for how it's spent or that the schools account for how they're spent?
Well, I already had met with members of the Department of Education earlier this year who were saying that with the current small program that they have in place, they don't have enough money and they don't have enough personnel to be able to follow up on all these. They do spot checks, but they don't go beyond that. Once you take it from the current 5,000 people that are taking advantage, 5,000 students, and take it to 10, 20, 30, 40, or you want to go to 1.1 million for all the students in the state, then that becomes a huge bureaucracy of inspecting and auditing that I'm not sure that the proponents have thought very much about that in order to make sure this stuff isn't spent in the right place. And there's no testing accountability in these either. I mean, the online schools, the home schools, there's no one going in saying they're following the curriculum. It's just the money goes out there. You got a Visa card. You can go to Walmart and buy a big screen TV if you want to, as some of these people have done.
790-2040. If you are a big fan of vouchers, now is your opportunity to let Senator Farley know, 790-2040. And if you don't like what you're hearing from Mr. Farley, we'd like to hear from you as well. So the total cost of 1.2 million students getting vouchers or their parents getting vouchers, where is Arizona going to come up with that kind of money? And what kind of money is that?
Well, the proponents will say they'll come up with that kind of money because they're spending in our public schools now anyway. There are so many unintended consequences built into this thing. When you do this sort of massive educational experiment where you dismantle the free universal public education system that built the largest middle class the world has ever seen and, by extension, the greatest economy the world has ever seen, what are your knock-on effects? Because not everyone's going to go on there. It does require parental choice. We've certainly seen, because we have over 20,000 kids removed from their homes by DCS, that not every parent is a good parent. There are plenty of people who actually want their kids in the public school and want to make them well. In fact, there's 82% of students in Arizona, their parents choose to send them to a public school. So that is a choice people are making. There are other options out there, but people are making that choice. I make that choice for my own daughter because I think they have amazing teachers in public schools. They're absolutely dedicated, and they're struggling with very difficult resource shortages right now because we have been starving our public school system. The way to solve that is not to let individual people go run to whatever system they think is going to help them, but make the entire system great for everybody. That's what the idea behind the whole system was in the first place.
One of our friends on buckmastershow.com is asking about your accusation a few moments ago about, do you have any evidence about abortions being paid for by vouchers?
If you you can actually Google that case. Just last summer, there was a case of a mother in Chandler who was doing just that. She's currently under indictment from a grand jury, and the AG is prosecuting that case right now. That's just one that popped up on a spot check. We don't know for sure what's happening. We know that there are some cases in which this money is rollovable from year to year. So there are some parents that have tens of thousands of dollars in their account that they're saving over to potentially spend on something later.
All right, 790-2040. If you would like to Facebook us, email like that friend just did with a question, I can call Steve Farley right now and you can have your say. Tim Steller will stick around. We're going to take our first break. Friday is Rock and Roll Friday on the Buckmaster Show. Our bumper music today from the great Al Stewart. This is the Year of the Cat.
She doesn't give you time for questions as she locks up your arms and you follow to your sense of which direction completely disappears by the blue tile wall.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad
is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Late in December, the sky turned to snow. All around the day was going down slow.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our Friday edition. Al Stewart, our featured artist today on our Rock and Roll Friday. Steve Farley is here, State Senator, a Democrat representing District 9. We've been talking about the effort to voucherize Arizona, no such word, to make Arizona's children have vouchers readily available, all of them. Tim Steller is here, columnist with the Arizona Daily Star. And before we go on, Steve Farley, where is the measure passed the Senate? It's in the House at this point.
It's in the House right now, and there's a parallel measure in the House as well, but neither one has been brought to the floor. Because from what I hear, there are 34 votes against it. So we still have a chance to kill it in the legislature. And from what I also hear, Governor Ducey really doesn't want this on his desk because it does set up that awkward contrast between a governor who says he's for public education with 123,
yeah,
but a governor
when we had him
who
on
might
the
be
show,
signing a bill to kill it.
We had him last week on this program, and he said he's going to be pretty much the standard bearer for Prop 123, doing a big statewide speaking tour about it. So he's going to be pushing it. He'll be out front.
And that's part of the ninth floor's classic spin control that's happening over there. It's amazing that in his budget, when he proposed his budget, he said that he was pumping more dollars into K-12, but he included in his budget as what he called an increase, basic enrollment growth increases and inflation increases, which no other governor has ever actually called an increase because per capita it stays at the same level.
Hey, Steve, what's the deal with the Senate versus the House on this measure? My understanding is that generally speaking, vouchers have stronger support in the Senate than the House, and that it's not the first time the House has kind of held up one of these measures.
Well, it's complex, and this year it's very complex because the JTED battle, it took us a year of trench warfare to try to get JTEDs restored from the death cuts they got last year. But by the time we finally got that through, the same folks who voted for the cuts were struggling over credit for who would get credit for restoring them. And that left a lot of hard feelings between the House and the Senate Republican caucuses. So there's some of that going on. I think that there are the people who are most for the vouchers are Steve Yarbrough and Debbie Lesko, who are both from the Senate. And there's certainly support for them in the House, but not as much. So that's sort of some of the dynamic.
Are you debating Debbie Lesko next week?
I'm actually going to be on Horizon Live next Thursday.
Channel 8,
Thursday
PBS,
night,
yeah.
PBS in Phoenix, debating Debbie Lesko, who may also be the incoming Senate president with Andy Biggs running for Congress, over the voucher bill, which is her bill. So that should be an interesting thing to tune into.
And how is the Biggs announcement going to affect you and the Senate?
My first response was I'm finally going to get the texting ban passed. He's the one person who has stood in the way for the last 10 years. But I think it goes well beyond simply that issue. Andy Biggs is the most powerful man in Arizona, and I'm including the governor in that list. I think he controls the Senate with an iron hand, and he has his total caucus under his control. He decides which bills he wants and doesn't want, and he puts blockades in the way of those he doesn't want.
You think he's got a good shot at Congress?
I don't know. I think he's going to struggle. Being the big dog in Arizona and then being one of 435 in Congress and a freshman at that, I'm not sure that he's going to do well there. It's going to be a challenge for a guy who kind of always knows that he's the right one.
Not to mention that he's just the first one. Apparently, he's the one who had the fix with Salmon. Salmon apparently gave him kind of the lead on the fact that he was going to retire. But who else might jump in? There's lots of possibilities.
There's a lot. Kirk Adams was rumored to jump in. He's the chief of staff of the governor now, but he's tied in with Sean Noble, the dark money guy who's behind Biggs's campaign now. And I think ultimately Kirk has more power than the governor in the governor's office, too, in terms of policy decisions. So he's comfortable there. But Justin Olson, who is also in that district in the East Valley, was thinking of running for speaker next year in the House, but he may jump into it. There's a whole bunch of people thinking about it. Whenever an open Congress seat happens in a hard right Republican district, there'll be a lot of people coming out and saying, me, me, me. There's going to be a huge race for the presidency of the Senate.
All right, got a couple of calls waiting, but before we go to Matthew on the live line, I want to ask you, speaking of the races, the CD2, Bruce Wheeler had said when he was on the program, I think it was last week, that he's seriously thinking of getting into CD2.
I haven't talked with him, but if he's seriously thinking, it's getting a little late for that.
You made a commitment to...
I'm supporting Victoria Steele, okay. Because I think she could do a good job in the race. I think it's going to be hard for anybody, frankly, okay. With the amount of money Martha McSally has. A lot of things could change depending on our presidential
dynamics.
Uphill
battle, though, for whoever's in it, you think.
It will be an uphill battle, but if Donald Trump is a nominee, I think a lot of Democrats are going to show up.
Well, that was exactly Bruce Wheeler's argument when I talked to him was that if it's Trump or Cruz, he thinks that he might jump in because there will be coattails.
Yeah. All right, Matthew, you're up with Steve Farley. Hey, Matthew.
Hey, guys. I know you had a busy week this week, Steve. Two quick points. One, the Grand Canyon Institute, Steve, just released a report a few days ago documenting that charter schools cost the state $128 million, and they broke it out that compared to the cost of, and that's administrative costs solely for charter schools, that the cost that they per pupil is charter schools is $1,400 approximately, whereas the traditional public school, it's only $628. That's just a talking point. I was just wondering if you've seen that report real quickly.
I have seen that report, and I think it's important. It points out an important point, which is that public education is not by nature a profitable institution. And when you put a private sector company in charge of that, they have to find a way to make a profit in order to survive. And that sadly means that they do things differently in the public school system, and they don't necessarily do them better. So for all those attacks we've had on the wasteful spending in the public education system, I think we have so much accountability built into the system that, and we don't have the similar level of accountability in a charter system or a private system, that you do end up with a higher administrative burden in those areas, and that does mean that it's actually cheaper to pay for a district school than a charter school, and when you're looking at a good taxpayer investment.
And real quickly, I did ask the one of the big unions, and I will say that, and also the question to ADEA, if they get these challenges between DSEG and the vouchers, will they continue to support 1-2-3? And I'm just curious if you've had any discussions with them. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. I haven't had any formal discussions with them, but informally I've talked with certain members, and at the very least their morale is killed by any of these things, because seriously, 123 is nothing compared to some of the damage these other things will cause.
Do you know if any other states are all voucher or have that all voucher capability?
There have been similar things that have happened in Louisiana where they have ramped up the system. I don't think it's all voucher the way it's worked, but the Louisiana experience has not been a pleasant one for the students there in Louisiana.
How about wrapping up this session? Last year it was record time. Wasn't it March when the whole thing ended up in the legislature?
I think we ended up like April 3rd or something, but it was winding down in late March. We had our budget in early March, which was shockingly fast.
This seems different. I mean, there hadn't been any talk about
and
budget.
You would
being
think
through.
It would be faster because the Speaker Gowan is running for Congress. Now President Biggs is running for Congress. They'd like to get out and campaign. But as I mentioned before, this sort of JTED hangover thing is that the House and the Senate Republican caucuses hate each other this year. And they're not getting together. And apparently, well, I've heard that you usually have these things called small group meetings in advance of the budget. Those have not been happening. And in the House in particular, they've not been happening. And the House members are asking for particular little things that they want in the budget, and they're not agreeing to each other. And Senate President Biggs usually has an iron hand of saying, this is what we're going to do, and he's been very distracted. So I don't know. This could go on for longer than I think.
Speaking of distraction, Steve, the bill you've tried to get through all through these years about texting and driving,
yeah.
it's specific to texting, or is it more about distracted driving?
The texting while driving is sort of shorthand.
Right.
It's specifically the use of a personal electronic device that is handheld to read or write or look at any sort of visual or written messages while you were driving, while you're in an active lane of traffic. And this year in particular, I'm actually taking the approach which I brainstormed with President Biggs, because I knew he was the blockade. I went and talked to him member to member, and I said, hey, we have to figure out, I can't believe you actually support this practice. What do you think we could do that you might support? And he said, let's work with the aggravating sentencing guidelines. So the direction I'm going in now is that basically it says, just like if you use a gun in the commission of crime, your sentence is increased. Hmm. If you are using a cell phone while driving and you injure somebody, you get an additional sentencing. And if you kill somebody, you get really hard time. And that actually ends up building in some of the thing of incentivizing. A $150 ticket may not do it for people. But knowing that you could end up being a murderer and doing hard time if you pull out your cell phone while driving could actually change people's behavior.
All right, Steve Farley, thank you very much. Senator Steve Farley, District 9. Do you have any opposition, announced opposition in District 9?
Not so far, but I'm expecting, usually when I get opposition, it happens late. Mm-hmm. And so I'm assuming that might happen, but what I'm really expecting is I hope that I will be able to spend my time campaigning around the state and helping us build a majority, because I hate to sound that partisan, but sometimes it's just numbers when you have this much control by one party.
And if Donald Trump is the Republican nomination, you think Democrats are going to feel real good about some of the down ticket?
If folks, we're ever going to get turnout with our Democratic constituencies, that would be the year to get turnout.
All right. Steve Farley, thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
All right. Let's hear some more of our Friday bumper music from Al Stewart.
Fishing boats go out across the evening water, smuggling guns and arms across the Spanish border. The wind whips up the waves so loud, the ghost moon sails among the clouds.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. You'll read stories from around the world ignored by the mainstream media. Stories from the Gatestone Institute, the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times News Service, and other great outlets. It is world news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, our Monday Political Face-Off, featuring commentators John Munger and Vince Robigo. Then we'll talk with two UA researchers who have released a surprising study on Native Americans and alcoholism. Buckmaster live noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, and podcasts, show archive, and live streaming at buckmastershow.com.
I was making my way through the wasteland. The road into town passes through. I was changing the radio station.
All right, Al Stewart. Song on the Radio. Tom Fairbanks, you picked out a good one there. Very appropriate for the Buckmaster Show. Al Stewart, our Rock and Roll Friday bumper music, our intermission music. Welcome back to the program. Buckmaster, the name of it, the Friday Roundtable. The second half of the Friday show, each Friday, featuring local commentators. Today we have Tim Steller, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, and on the live line, Jim Nintzel, senior writer for the Tucson Weekly. He's also host of his own TV show, Zona Politics, airing Sunday morning at 8 on CW Tucson Channel 58 and Channel 8 on Cox and Comcast. Mr. Nintzel, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, good to hear from you. And Tim and I want to begin with all this interesting development about the state House Speaker repaying $12,000 in travel reimbursements. That would be House Speaker Gowan, and that is money that apparently he claimed for trips that he took in state vehicles and for days he said he worked but did not. Kind of interesting, huh?
I would say so. This follows up on a report by Hank Stevenson in the Arizona Capital Times. Hank has been all over this story. Earlier this year, he reported that Speaker Gowan had been using state vehicles to drive all over Congressional District 1, where he's running for Congress, racked up an extraordinary number of miles doing that. And it was unprecedented. We hadn't seen state lawmakers using these vehicles in this way. He's saying that it was all related to his duties as House Speaker, but that sounds a little fishy. And then we find out that he actually applied for mileage reimbursement for the driving in the state car and managed to collect $12,000, as you said, in both mileage reimbursement and per diem claims on days that he didn't work. And when it gets right down to it, David Gowan is a guy who has run for office saying that government hands out too much money. You know, he thinks that welfare recipients are cheating the system, that food stamp recipients are cheating the system, that poor people who get health care coverage are cheating the system. And yet here he is helping himself to $12,000, and then when it gets revealed, discovers that, you know, his staff made a mistake. And I think this is pretty much the end of his congressional campaign.
It is really quite stunning when you kind of add it all up, because what Hank Stevenson's initial reporting showed was not was that Gowan was doing this driving that you referred to, but also that other members of the House had suddenly taken great advantage of their ability to take state cars to ALEC conferences and other places that were of arguably not for official business. But then the idea that he went that step further and got reimbursed for miles that he drove in a state vehicle, it boggles the mind a bit. And unfortunately, I wrote about this, I think, a month ago or so, and it only adds to this impression of the speaker, our first speaker from Southern Arizona in like 30 years, as a person who just loves the perks of the position and really pretty much holds it for that reason. I reported last year sometime about him using the JTED program at Andrada Polytechnic High School to get three of his cars repaired for free, the value of which when you added it up was around $1,000. But it was also the principle of the thing. And it's unseemly.
That was a great story by Tim, and then voting to cut the JTED program.
Right. Well, that was the twisting of the knife, was that he had just allowed that to go through, and then he went ahead and took advantage of the program. Another question that arose, and I think you might have tweeted this, is I am curious where the $12,000 came from. Not that a person can't have $12,000 sitting around.
This is money that he was reimbursed for.
He reimbursed the state. I mean, he paid the state back for the money they had originally reimbursed him for.
So that's where the money came
from. Potentially, but then again, if you got the money, or for me, and I got the money last year sometime, I probably wouldn't have it sitting around anymore, to say it. I would have spent it on either debt or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
That's an excellent point, where the repayment dollars came from. And we should note that the House of Representatives have stonewalled nearly all of Hank's public records requests on this story. He has had a devil of a time actually getting the documents on this, and he actually had to use the state's open books program, which was, ironically enough, something that David Gowan and others voted for, to try to put all of the state's expenses online so they can be easily viewed. So he was sort of hoisted on his own petard there.
So Gowan is one of six folks running for Congressional District number one, and you reported in your weekly column called The Skinny that State Senator Steve Pierce now appears that he may jump in.
Yeah, this was originally a rumor started again in the Capital Times yellow sheet about whether or not State Senator Steve Pierce would be interested in this race. He is a very wealthy rancher in that. He lives outside of the district, but he lives near that district and is well known in the northern part of the district. So seven candidates in that race really scrambles the equation quite a bit. Who has a real shot at that? And I would say the front runner is probably Pinal County Sheriff Paul Babiou, who Tim has done extensive reporting on and can talk about his troubles probably more deeply than I can, but he's got some pretty serious flaws as a candidate as well.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. There's then, of course, there's the fact of Matt Salmon stepping down, which could also play into CD1. So Matt Salmon steps down. Andy Biggs is running for his seat. But, I've seen some talk. Would Ken Bennett, who is running in CD1, want to instead jump races and go into the 5th Congressional District and try to run there? There's all kinds of flux in these races. But you're right that Babiou, I think, still remains the front runner. He's good at fundraising, and he has a lot of name ID. I do question whether, if he wins the Republican nomination, he'll be able to pull out the general because, this district's voted for Ann Kirkpatrick, two or three times now. And he certainly appeals to the hard right of the Republican Party, but I'm not sure he will appeal to the broad voter base of the district.
Exactly, and the thing about the primary is a lot of the Republican vote is concentrated down here in the southern part of the district where Paul Babiou is well known. And the question is, do any of his opponents in that Republican primary hit him with all of the stuff you could hit him on, including the more recent allegations that he was aware of some very serious abuse going on at a school he managed in Massachusetts before he moved to Arizona. And you can guarantee that the Democrats are not going to, the Democrats are definitely going to hit him with all of that, and that's going to hurt him, I think, pretty significantly in a general election contest.
Jim Nitzel with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Jim from the Tucson Weekly, and he has his own TV show, Zone of Politics. Tim Steller is columnist for The Star. And Jim, this race, very crowded in CD1. I want to talk a little bit about CD2. We just had Steve Farley on the Buckmaster Show, and he has endorsed Victoria Steele in that race between Dr. Matt Hines and former state lawmaker Victoria Steele. But Bruce Wheeler has said to me, and he's said to Tim Steller wrote a column about this, that he is looking at getting into the race. And I think this is about the Trump factor. If Trump becomes the Republican nominee, Democrats see a coattail factor here. They believe there would be a huge turnout to try to defeat Trump here in Arizona. Some of your thoughts, Jim.
Well, you know, that debate last night, to start with, was just an amazing performance by the candidates, and obviously going after Trump, but I don't know that they succeeded in weakening him. So I think Trump's looking pretty good going into Super Tuesday here. He just picked up Chris Christie's endorsement. So that's going to just, this is unprecedented, I think, in modern political history to see a hostile takeover of a political party in the way that Trump is doing it.
It is.
And it scrambles all our political equations. So it almost becomes impossible to predict what might happen. But I think a lot of Republican candidates are going to have trouble figuring out if they embrace Trump or if they move away from Trump, particularly in moderate districts like Southern Arizona CD2. Now, I think Martha McSally is still in a really great position. She's raised a lot of money. She's worked very hard. Her profile fits the district well with her history in the military and the number of veterans and active duty military here. But I think if Trump becomes the nominee, all bets are off everywhere.
Yeah, it's interesting that, you know, Bruce said this about he might get into the race if Trump looks to be the nominee, because it would suggest a Democratic big Democratic win with some coattails in the presidential election. But you got to wonder, you know, first of all, I wonder about Bruce's math there, because if he thinks he can slide in on the coattails of a Democrat, then why couldn't Victoria Steele or Matt Hines? Mm-hmm. But second, I'm not so sure that that a Trump nomination means a Democratic sweep. I have no idea, really.
I was thinking, and during that exchange last night where it got so heated between Rubio and Trump, what if Mr. Trump, I was thinking, oh my goodness, what if he had walked over to Mr. Cruz and took a couple punches at him, and suddenly you have world wrestling right there. And would his numbers have gone up? Probably. Among his supporters.
People love the show.
Wonder.
Yeah.
I mean, I was reading a piece by Nate Silver on his 538 website last night, just talking about Trump's extraordinary negative outside of his support base. And, you know, Democrats don't like him. Independents don't like him. This could change. He could bring out a whole new set of voters. But at this point, he's great within the Republican Party, and he's not selling that well outside of it.
Well, the whole Trump factor, it's very interesting to see. He has said that he could actually shoot one of his supporters.
No, someone else. You could shoot someone the middle of Fifth Avenue and his poll numbers would go up, I think is what he said.
All right.
Seriously, for a second, it's such a weird contrast for me personally watching Trump, because I have to acknowledge that he entertains me at times, and yet I also see him doing these fascistic things, like kind of whip up almost a mob violence mentality against people. And that's quite terrifying. So maybe that's the trick of his candidacy, is that he is both funny and also menacing in that way.
And you know, he doesn't have any kind of policy plans for anything. I mean, you listen to him talk about a healthcare plan, and it's complete nonsense.
Right.
There's no policy, and which Rubio tried to get at him with last night, and I don't think they really landed any significant punches. Although that tax issue could become a problem. The whole the claim that he can't release any of his tax releases because he's being audited because he's such a strong Christian. But this has been happening on the Republican side for some time, where you have candidates who can pretty much say anything, and voters flock to them. And you know, you're seeing it with the obstructionism on the Supreme Court nominee again. And so, you know, to some extent, I think the wacko birds are coming home to roost for the Republican Party.
And what happens with Chris Christie? What was he promised, Governor Christie?
I would think maybe a VP slot, and then he just waits for Trump to get impeached and then he takes over.
Yeah, that's a good point. Of course, Attorney General would be another one that he could slide right into, or Supreme Court of the United States. He could be the next Antonin Scalia.
Getting back to Matt Salmon, who has been in Congress a long time, and prior to Congress, he ran against, I believe, Napolitano. I think I actually hosted that debate back in the 90s when he was running for governor. Why is he leaving Congress, Jim Nitzel?
You know what? I don't know the answer to that question. I don't have very good sources within Team Salmon, but, you know, I think he probably will do quite well once he gets out of Congress. You know, he served three terms and left and kept his promise, although I think that was largely so he could set himself up to run for governor. Lost that race, of course, went into lobbying, did very well, and then got back into Congress when some district lines and a seat opened up. He may be tired of the travel, or who knows? Who knows what's going on?
All right, going to have to wrap it up here very soon, but I had Senator McCain on the program with me, and it was very disappointed for those that are pushing to get that Cherry Bell Post Office, the processing center, keeping it open. And Senator McCain said, for all of you, I've got some bad news to break to you. The chance is quite remote that that center, the consolidation, will not go forward. So that's kind of disappointing, right, Jim?
I think it's crazy that you're not going to have a post office here, but you're going to have several of them in Vermont. And it's just nuts that all our stuff is being shipped up to Phoenix. It's bad for local businesses, it's bad for jobs, and it's appalling that it's going forward.
Tim, the final word?
Appalling. Fine. Yeah, the final word is appalling.
All right. Tim and Jim, thank you both very much. Hope you both have a great weekend. Thank you.
Pleasure to join you.
All right. Thanks
a lot, Jim.
Jim Nitzel and Mr. Tim Steller, his column Sunday about what's the...
I think I may revisit this voucher discussion we were just having. I think that might be a good idea.
All right. Thanks a lot. We'll be right back with Weekend Watch.
In the east, the wind is blowing. Sails with the morning, and their cries ring out to me.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. All right, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, Inside Tucson food and beverage columnist and award-winning Tucson publicist, brought to us by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson to the historic Silver City, known for its vibrant arts community. Downtown Silver City hosting a variety of galleries, historic buildings, fine dining, and beautiful atmosphere. Check out the website southwestnewmexico.org for all of the many things to do and places to stay, like Little Toad Creek Inn. Here he is, Matt Russell, in his cowboy gear, honoring Rodeo Week. Hello, Mr. Russell.
Hey there, Bill. You know, this is the only day of the year that I could wear my chaps to work and get away with it. we just love celebrating rodeo this time of year.
What's going on? What can we do that has kind of a rodeo connection?
Well, you know, just in time for this week's rodeo, a new restaurant has just opened up on the east side that is serving up the kinds of vittles that you might be looking for this weekend. The Horseshoe Grill on Broadway and Pantano.
That'll do.
Absolutely. Serving up succulent ribs and chicken steak and all the fare. And a custom mesquite grill and smoker take center stage in the restaurant, which is surrounded by a dining bar that's in the shape of, you guessed it, a horseshoe. You got to see it to believe it. Channel your inner vaquero and scoot your boots over to the Horseshoe Grill for dinner this weekend.
And this weekend, Tancaverde Ranch, a good place to wear that Western garb.
Absolutely, and you can dine under the stars near the warmth of a campfire. The cowboy chefs do all the grilling outside. You can all-you-can-eat mesquite New York strips, pulled pork, chili rubbed chicken, all the sides. Real Western cowboys sing real Western music, and it's all just $35 a person. Bar opens at 5:30. The dinner bell rings at 6, but you got to make reservations for the barbecue at the Tancaverde Ranch.
El Corral has always been a standard for Western fare.
Yeah, and it's not rodeo without a basket full of oysters. But I'm not talking about the bivalve, Bill. I'm talking Rocky Mountain oysters, those tender little nuggets from a bull's nether region that have earned quite a following around these parts. Now, I like the ones at El Corral, as you suggested, over on River and Campbell. They've been on the menu for 17 years. They're coated in a lovely seasoning, fried up in canola, and served with a side of house-made cocktail sauce, the perfect appetizer before their killer steaks. I think it's time to have a ball at El Corral this rodeo weekend, Bill.
Keep the boots and the hat on. Have a great weekend. Thank you, Matt.
Happy trails.
All right. I want to promote all of our 6 hours we do here of local talk Monday through Friday, but it is Friday, and that means we do a lot of expert talk here on the weekends. Lots of programming for you, including Mr. Charles Heller with his fun show, Swap Shop, 10 a.m., 10 to 11 here on Sunday. Swap Shop trains a-coming with Mr. Heller, and if you've got something to buy, sell, or trade, Charles can take care of you with that. The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for its content on behalf of our whole team here at KVOI. Doug and Mary Martin are the owners of Good News Communications. Thank you, Doug and Mary. Our operations manager, Ray Allen. Our producers, Ed Alexander and Tom Fairbanks. Our production ace, Jerry Cross. None better than Mr. Cross in the business. My executive assistant, she does a great job podcasting, getting all the podcasts up on the website, Rosemary Brandt. I am Bill Buckmaster. Have a safe and wonderful weekend.